chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 this morning. I would invite you to turn there in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. One spring about 15, 16 years ago, I had a customer of mine that wanted to build a new house. And so, as was typical, we made plans for that. And the unique part of this experience was we were going to build this house in the spring. And so what happens in the spring is that the ground thaws and it gets muddy and there can be some challenges. And so we were going to be really smart. And just before the ground thawed and it was starting to get into early spring, it was probably maybe in the middle of March, we decided to go out and begin building this house. Now the trick on this house was it was on the other side of a 40-acre field, so we had to leave the road where you can drive almost anything all the time, and go about a quarter of a mile across this dirt field to get where he was tucking his house back in the trees. It was beautiful. And so we had hired someone to dig the foundation. The dirt was moved out there, and we poured the footings in there, backed the ready-mix trucks right across this frozen field like nobody's business. And then the next day, the wall contractor from Rochester came down, set all the wall forms up, and the sun came out, and the ground began to thaw. Now, the ground was almost thawed out, so the top didn't have much of a frosty crust on there. But by the time we were ready to pour the walls that afternoon, unbeknownst to us, the ground would no longer support a ready-mix truck. And so I called the ready-mix company. I'm all excited. We have 35 yards of concrete coming out from the plant, and the forms are all set up, and there's probably 15 guys working out there. And we backed that first ready-mix truck off the road, and it sank all the way to his axles, and he couldn't move front or back. It probably weighed about 70,000 pounds. I have three more lined up on the road behind him. And I remember that sick feeling of knowing it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We have a couple of hours more daylight. I have a buried truck. What am I going to do? And so we got a dozer, and we hooked the dozer onto that truck, and we couldn't move it. It just, everybody was stuck, and we were at the end of our rope. And I remember sitting there on the gravel road in my teal green 1500 Chevy pickup going, what in the world am I going to do? I had never been more sick. All this money, all this manpower, this impossible obstacle that I would never be able to get past. I remember several years ago we went to New Orleans, and we went down to what we thought was to do some framing on a church down in New Orleans after the hurricane damage. And we got there and realized that we're the ones that are going to be pouring the concrete and laying the rebar. Very difficult, very challenging, very hot. And our team from Emmanuel Baptist Church worked from early in the morning till late at night. And by the time we were done at the end of the day, it was all we could do to climb back into the van, fall into our seats, and be dragged back to the church where we were staying. We were so tired. We were so weary. We felt it in every part of our body. I remember a mother who came into my office and sat down in a chair and began to weep as she told me that her daughter had cancer. I remember parents coming into my office and weeping over their children because they're wondering what they did wrong. They tried to teach them the gospel. They brought them to church. They trained them up. But now the tears begin to flow as they realize that their children, now adults, now gone from the home, really have no desire to serve God whatsoever. And it breaks their hearts and it brings what seems like almost a crushing load into the life of a mother or a father. I remember visiting more than several of you in the hospital as you go in for surgery or for complications and not sure what's going to happen or what's going to be the result of a test or a surgery, and wrestling to trust God and to hope in Him as we are nervous, knowing that God can control it, but feeling the burden of our weakness as we're frail and we worry about things. I remember when the phone call came in that told me that my daughter Lauren was being rushed to an emergency room in Waterloo, Iowa after a T-bone collision at about 65 miles per hour. I remember the fear of wondering what I would find if she would be okay and what I would do if God took her away from me. Life is filled with challenges and burdens, and it's easy to be weary, to feel the crushing load, to wonder if God can handle it, to wonder if I can handle it. Why are we weary? We have desires that we have in life that are normal, natural, wonderful, godly desires. And sometimes those desires are not met. Sometimes we're weary because we have wounded affections or emotions, or someone hurt us or was unkind. Sometimes we're weary because of fear or sadness or just a sense of monotony in my life. Where's it going? Everything seems the same. There seems to be no point anymore in my life. Sometimes we're weary because we have the burden of a guilty conscience from sins that we know we have committed and we just can't seem to pull away from it. Sometimes we're weary because of the serious burdens of labor or ministry or work or any noble endeavor, and the load as we press on crushes down on us and brings weariness to the soul. Sometimes we're weary because we're suspicious of God. We know what the Bible says, but our situation seems to be the one situation that we're not sure if God can fix this one. And so sometimes we're suspicious that maybe He really liked those guys in the Old Testament, and maybe He showed up for them at the seventh hour hoping to take care of them, but we're not sure that He will do it for us. Sometimes we're weary because we have health concerns and we don't know what the implications will be for our life or our family. A family stayed in our home just in the last several weeks and went back to Chicago with the crushing news that he probably has just a few years to live. What a blow for this family, and the tears flow as they wrestle with God. Why? Our text today has some of the sweetest and most precious words that Christ ever said. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30 say this. Jesus speaking, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourself, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Dear Heavenly Father, do teach us right now exactly what these words mean, and teach us why it is that Jesus is sharing them with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look at the passage, it's not too hard to figure out that there are exactly three verbs in the passage. There's three action words that make this passage what it is. And those three words are to come, to take, and to learn. And so Jesus says, come to me, and then he describes who should come. And then he says, take something from me, and then tells us what we should take. And then he says, to learn from me, and then he tells us why we should learn from him. The persons who are supposed to come are those who are weary and those who are burdened, and they're supposed to come so that they can find rest in Jesus Christ. The weary and the burdened are two different words. Some of your Bibles have some different words there, but the passage says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, and all of those who are burdened." Weary and burdened. Weary is the fatigue that comes from simple hard work. So that when I dig a ditch with a shovel, there's fatigue that comes from that. That makes me weary. When I sit at my computer and I type out a newsletter article, or maybe you're working at your job and you're sending out emails and coordinating activity, the stress that comes from simple interaction with life and your activities makes you weary. And Jesus says, come to me when you are experiencing the tiredness that comes because of the work that you're doing in life. And so he invites you to come if you're weary, and then he invites you to come if you're burdened. Burdened is slightly different than weary. Burdened means here the load that you carry. And so there's work that you do, and all work has an element of tiredness to it. Amazingly enough, there's an energy that's expended in preaching that surprised me when I came into the ministry. You would think that talking for 30 minutes wouldn't be that big of a deal, but it's very tiring, and it takes a lot out of you because of the emotional energy, and that's just the weariness that comes from doing the task. But the burden is different. The burden is those things in life that weigh down on you and are the pressures of life and the cares of the world and the things that are burdening your soul that are not a result of your physical labor. And so Jesus says, come to me when you're tired from the work that you're doing, and then come to me when the burden, the things that you think about and have as your responsibilities are heavy for you. The picture here is of a donkey who is loaded up to carry his burden across Jerusalem, and there's just a few too many bags for what that donkey can carry, and that donkey is burdened. Jesus says, come when you're tired and when the load gets too heavy. And then he says to take. And he says that you should take from him his yoke. And he says that it's easy and that it's light. Notice that Jesus doesn't say that he will remove your load. He says you will exchange your load. You will come and take a yoke from him. Picture up on the screen of a yoke that will be used to tie two animals together. And Jesus says, take my yoke. And then he says, learn. Learn. Jesus says, come to me, take my yoke, and then learn from me. To understand the significance of this passage, to understand the significance of Jesus saying to come and take and learn, we have to look at the context of the entire chapter of 11. If you look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 15, what's happening is John the Baptist is in prison now. John the Baptist is seeing that his life is probably about to be coming to an end, and what he's wondering is if it was worth it. He's in prison. He was following Jesus. He was saying, Jesus is the Messiah. Follow him. Do what he says. Serve him. And then when John gets thrown in prison and Jesus' ministry isn't going the way John expected, John sends some disciples off to ask Jesus if he's the one. Why does he ask him that? Because he wants to make sure that if he's in prison about to give his life, that it was worth it. That he gave his life for a reasonable or a worthy cause. And so John the Baptist looks at chapter 11, verses 1 through 15, and he asks the question, Jesus, is it really you? Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? And Jesus is telling this to those who are around him. And at the same time that John the Baptist is questioning if Jesus really is the one or not, Jesus continues and says, verse 16, to what should I compare this generation? And then he thinks not just of John the Baptist who's questioning if Jesus is the Messiah, but he's questioning the entire generation. And he compares the generation to some kids who are playing out in the marketplace. And verse 17 says, we played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We sang a lament for you and you did not mourn. The games the children played in Jerusalem would be weddings and funerals. And so they would get together and they would have someone dress up as a bride and someone dress up as a groom. And these kids would all get together and they'd play the wedding and there'd be all the wedding party. They'd be pretending that this festivity was happening. Or sometimes they would play funeral and maybe somebody would play the preacher and they'd pretend there were some people carrying that and they would have the party that sometimes goes to that. Even as a sadness, they would pretend play these games. And the children often have to play these games of weddings or funerals. And Jesus says what this generation is like is a generation that no matter what game they're playing, it's not good enough. And so the kids would say, well, we're playing wedding, but you won't play with us. Or we're playing funeral and you won't play with us. And Jesus says the generation is just like that. And then he says John the Baptist came and he was a little strange and so you wrote him off. And then I came eating and drinking and you wrote me off too. Nothing will satisfy this generation when it comes to things of a spiritual nature. And so Jesus not only has John the Baptist in prison wondering if he's the Christ or not, but he looks then at these other people, the world around him, the generation, and says they're like kids who cannot be satisfied. And John came, preached the truth, and they wouldn't listen to him. And then I came, the one who is truth, and they wouldn't listen to me either. A bunch of spoiled, rotten little kids this generation is. Jesus says, John the Baptist wonders, is it really me? While the generation all around rejects the very gospel that I come to share. And then verses 25 through 27 in Matthew chapter 11 say, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and Lord of earth. You've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to infants. In verse 26, yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to my Father. Jesus says, John the Baptist questions if I'm the Messiah. He was the forerunner. He was predicted in the Old Testament. The generation all around me is questioning if I'm God. Most of them are rejecting me. And then he says, but I praise God that he has a plan, that he's working his plan. His plan is his good pleasure, and it's going to work. And then Jesus says these wonderful words at the end of all these questions. He says, come to me. If you're tired and you're weary and you want some rest. It's a very fitting answer for the dilemma that we see not just in Jesus' day, but in our day. Maybe it's a fitting answer for the questions you have. Maybe you're like John the Baptist. Maybe your Christian life has been hard. Maybe the marriage has been hard. Maybe the children have been disappointing, or maybe the church has disappointed you or hurt you. And the question you have is, are you really God? Can God fix this? Is this really true? Is this possible? Or maybe you're one of the generation that nothing the church does or nothing that Christ would offer or nothing in the Bible is good enough for you. And Jesus says, come to me, bring your burden, take my yoke, learn of me, and you will find rest. Let's look at the come. The first word, come. Jesus says, come to me. It's an invitation. It's an invitation from Jesus to come to him. The invitation is universal and it's specific. Jesus says to the world at large, come to me. And he also says to you, individual person, come to me and find rest. Many have no need of Christ. They are self-sufficient. They do not come. Many have no desire for God whatsoever. They think that if they come to God, if they do what Jesus says, that Jesus will have them give up everything in life that they think is fun. Many have no knowledge of God whatsoever. Many have never heard the call to come. It's the reason that we send missionaries around the world to say to people, come to Jesus. Many have never heard. They have no knowledge of Christ. But some, the Bible says, some who are humble, some who are lowly, come to God like a little child. And they admit that they have a need for God. They admit they have a desire in their heart that cannot be filled and that God can fill it. And they know that they must come to God to have the desires that they have in their life filled. And the Bible says when you come, you'll find rest. How do you find rest? You find forgiveness. You find a purpose in life. You find a reason for the things that you struggle with. You find a meaning in life you did not know before, and there's rest in that. Jesus doesn't always take the challenge away, but he gives meaning and purpose to it. You find forgiveness for those things that nag at you, that you wish you wouldn't have done, that are a part of your childhood or your early adulthood or even your recent past. And the burden on your soul and in your heart is, I cannot believe I did that, the mistakes I made. How can I ever move on? And the rest that Jesus brings is that he brings forgiveness. I watched a movie one time of a soldier. It was a true story. A soldier who was very, very mean to a bunch of sort of natives up in the jungles, and some monks went out there to build some missions for them. And so this soldier in the end ends up being converted over and become a worker in the mission. But he couldn't go back up to the area where he had been from to work with those natives there, because he'd been one who had been mean to them and shot them and enslaved them. And so he didn't know how to do it. And so one day in brokenness, he took all the weapons that he had, his armor and his swords and all of those tools he used to harm those innocent people, and he put them all in a big bag and he tied them up and he put them over his back, and he climbed up the muddy mountain in the rain dragging this bag of armor and tools with him, these weapons that he used to torture these people. And he slipped going up and he'd fall down and he'd climb up again, and he was caught in the thorns and the mud and the rain, and he labored as he worked his fingers literally to when they were bloody to get to the top of the mountain to go back to these people to ask for their forgiveness, dragging as it were his burden with him in penance. He gets to the top of the hill and some of the natives come out and they know who he is, and they're scared of him because they remember what he did. And one of the natives takes up a big machete, and all I could think of is going to take off the guy's head. And the guy's there in the mud, barely makes it to the top, could have been killed on the journey, this huge crushing load of all these weapons on his back. And the native takes the machete and goes like this. And I thought, oh, this is so bad. I wish he wasn't going to be doing this. And the next thing you see is the weapons in the backpack off that man's back rolling down the hill. What happened there? He forgave him. And that burden that he bore and drug all the way to the top and said, I'm sorry, I've blown it. Here my weapons are not in my hand, they're in a bag. And as it rolled down the hill, the man began to weep because he knew that he had been forgiven by those that he offended. And when you come to Christ, that's what you do. You say, God, I don't have a whole lot, and I did this, and I wish I wouldn't have done that, and this is a part of my past, and this is who I am, and here I have how I have failed. And God, I don't know what to do with it, but I put it all in a bag, and I drag it to the cross, and I lay it at your feet, and God could kill us for our crimes, but he does not. He releases us from the burden, and he forgives us, and we can find rest. And that's why so many people weep when they come to Christ. I shared the gospel with a young lady. just last week, not this previous, but a week before, and I said, do you understand what the gospel is? And she thought she did, and I said, let me just tell you. And I walked through that we're sinners, and we've fallen, and God forgives. And I got all the way to the end, and tears began to come in her eyes. And I'm like, God forgives you for everything that He is bringing to your mind. And the rest that we find in God is He says, come to us, and He takes away that burden and exchanges it for a different one. The Pharisees that were so common to the people of that day laid many burdens on the people. And the people that came to church back then, the Pharisees said, do this, do that. Hundreds of laws they were supposed to obey. And Jesus comes along and Jesus says, don't do anything. Jesus says, come to me. The Pharisees said, do. Jesus said, come. And He says the same to you. And then He says, take. And then He says, take. This is very interesting. I think that most people, when they're coming to Christ, get stuck right here. They want to come to Christ. And they want to understand that Jesus Christ can give them relief from the burden they feel. And they want the freedom and they want the rest that comes in Christ, but they can't take His yoke. They want to keep their own stuff. And so Jesus says, come. And then He says, take my yoke. Many answer the call to come to Christ for rest, but they refuse the yoke that Christ offers. Many burdens are unique. There's burdens that you bear that only you in your life with your ministry and your work and your family could bear. There's many burdens that are common to all of us. All of us bear the burden of the guilt of sin. All of us know we do wrong things. Every person, no matter how vile, no matter how wicked, has some knowledge that I've done something wrong, that not everything I've done has been right or good. We all bear that burden. Everybody bears a purpose, the question of purpose in life. Everybody asks the question, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Do I make any difference at all? Do I matter? And everybody asks the question, what about the future? Is there any hope? Is there any reason? What do I see in the future? I wrestle with that. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says, this is what the Lord says. Stand by the roadways and look. Ask about the ancient paths. Which is the way to what is good? Then take it and don't find rest in yourselves, but in me. But they protested and they wouldn't take it. Jesus says, come. But He says, come. And then He says, take my yoke and lay down your burden. And so many can't do it. So many come to Christ because they long for rest, but they won't take up the burden that God gives them in exchange. They won't take the yoke that Jesus says that they should take. They won't be obedient to Him. They won't submit their lives to Christ. They won't be willing to be obedient to Christ and no longer serve themselves. So what do we know about the yoke? The yoke is voluntary. When you come to Christ, you answer the call to come, but whether or not you take that yoke on your shoulders, that's voluntary. Nobody can make you do that. We don't line people up outside the doors of the church and hope to get them in the church and then say, okay, now you're going to be a Christian and you're going to be a Christian. We hope that they will see the invitation to come to Christ, understand the rest and relief He gives them, and then willingly take the yoke that God offers them on their own shoulders. The yoke is voluntary. The yoke is also exchanged. You exchange a yoke of working to find favor with God to one of knowing that God forgives your sin. You exchange the yoke of knowing that you're worthy of receiving God's wrath to knowing now that you are unworthy, but you will receive His love. You exchange the yoke of pursuing worldliness and things of worldly pleasure that dishonor God and saying, I will no longer pursue that, but I will pursue things that are honorable that God says that I pursue. The yoke is exchanged and the yoke is shared. Jesus says, take my yoke. We could look at this in two ways. We could look at us in being a yoke with Jesus, pulling the load together, that He shares the load that's with us. Or we could look at it as sharing the load with others who are around us, and both are legitimate in the Scriptures. It's easy for us to see where Jesus says, I will bear your load with you. If you come to me, I will share the burden. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. And the Apostle Paul, in the same way, refers to in Philippians 4:3 and 2 Corinthians 6:4 as those who are my fellow believers. The literal translation there is yoke fellow. Same word for yoke Paul uses of those people who are around him. And there are those Christians who come into your life and they bear the load with you. And so when you take the yoke, Christ helps you to bear it and you share it with those who are believers. The yoke is shared. And friends, the yoke has been worn by Christ. The yoke has been worn by Christ. Every challenge, every temptation, every burden, every fear, every wondering if God can provide has been worn by Christ Himself. When He hung on the cross and wondered if God can pull it off. When He went to the garden and wondered how it would feel to be crucified. When He was slandered and it wasn't fair. When He did not retaliate when He had the right to. When He submitted Himself to those who were accusing Him. Every burden that God asks you to bear, Jesus Christ has borne. The yoke has been worn by Christ. He asks you to bear nothing that He has not borne Himself. He was despised and rejected of men. Surely He has borne our sorrows and carried our griefs, and yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of men. And lastly, the yoke is the pathway to manageable labor. The yoke that Jesus offers, which you have to take voluntarily, is your pathway to labor that you can manage. And even in the picture, you see the oxen. Imagine if one wanted to go this way and one wanted to go that way, and maybe there's a load behind them. They could fight all day long and wear themselves out. But when you take the yoke that Jesus gives voluntarily, you lay down your agenda and you pick up His. You begin to walk with Him, and He bears the load with you as you walk through life. And then lastly, Jesus says, learn. Here's the challenge. We like microwaves and fast cars and check out yourself quickly. And Jesus comes along and says, come to Me and take My yoke and then learn. I wish it didn't say that. I wish it said, come to Me and take My yoke, and there's an instantaneous transformation that makes all your problems go away for the rest of your life. That's the kind of Jesus I want to come to, right? And He doesn't say that. He says, come to Me and take My yoke and then learn of Me. And so there's two things happening. There's an instantaneous decision. There's a moment in time, and then there's a process. There's a moment in time where the tears flow and the burden falls off your back, and Jesus Christ once and for all relieves you of the burden of your sin and your purpose in life and your hope for the future, and it's gone forever. But then there's the learning where you have to do it over and over and over again as the crushing blows of this life press down on you. And so Jesus says, learn. Learn of Me. Learn that the burden is light. And as you struggle, you're going to find some things you think you can't bear, and you'll have to learn again that you can bear this burden. The challenge is coming and taking the yoke and realizing it's not instantaneous indefinite rest. It's a pathway to learning which leads to rest, which is the very reason the passage says, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. Beloved, this is like salvation. It's not just a moment. It's a journey. It's both. It's a moment in time. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. And then it's a journey of following and being obedient to Christ. So the question is, how do I learn? How do I learn about this yoke? How do I learn to find this rest? Three simple answers. One is by the Word. By the Word of God, I read the Scriptures. I read the testimony of Scripture, and I'm instructed in my heart. I was meeting with Rocky, our intern, and Jeremy and Jacob this week. We were doing some internship-related studies, and one of the questions in the book that we went through is, what should you do when you're totally spiritually dry? And I love asking guys this question, because we go around the room and Jacob gave his answer, and Rocky gave his answer, and Jeremy gave his answer, and then I gave somebody else's answer, because lots of people are a lot smarter than I am. And so I gave John Piper's answer, right? And I was at a pastor's conference one time, and a pastor asked the question of John Piper. He says, what should I do when I'm totally weary and burdened and spiritually dry? And John Piper, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church, is sitting in a chair in a question answer form, and he leans down, he takes the microphone, and he goes, you know. And I'm like, okay, well, just tell me. You know, I want to hear you say it. And he says, you know, the Word. The Word refreshes your soul. The Word teaches you. The Word fills you up. The Word is a fountain that flows into your life. And I thought, that's the answer. And the Word of God refreshes us and teaches us, and we learn in the Word of God. And secondly, we learn by the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God in you that equips you to understand, learn, and receive Scripture. And lastly, we learn by the example of Jesus Christ. When you wonder if you should turn the other cheek, look what Jesus did. When you wonder if you should share your faith if it gets you in trouble, look what Jesus did. If you wonder if you should be willing to go all the way to the cross and give your life for the gospel, look what Jesus did. We learn by the Word, His Spirit, and His example. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, said, rest to the soul is the best and most unshakable evidence that God has begun a work of grace in our hearts. The rest that Jesus promises you when you come to Him, when you exchange your burden for His, when you learn from Him, that rest is the unmistakable evidence of the work of God in your heart. I think it's interesting the passage is actually consistent with the experience of becoming a Christian, isn't it? I mean, this is almost what it's like just to come to Christ, right? Jesus says, come. Okay, the invitation is to come, receive the gospel, embrace Christ. Then the invitation is to take something from me, is to lay down that which you brought with you and take something from me. Obedience, submission, servitude to Christ, being His child, and then to learn of Christ as a journey through life. It's a picture of becoming a Christian, to come and to take and to learn. And the Scripture has a warning. The Scripture has a warning for those who refuse to take their rest in God. In the very last book of the Bible, in the Revelation of John the Apostle, Revelation chapter 14, beginning in verse 11, the Bible says, "There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. But here is the endurance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and the faith in Jesus." And then John says, "I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, let them rest from their labors." Beloved, if you are a child of God today, no matter what burden you bear in your life, you can find rest in Jesus. And you can't find rest because I'm telling you to and have some secret formula. You can find rest there because Jesus says if you come to Him, if you lay down your burden and take up His burdens and you learn from Him, He says you'll find it. And then in the last book of the Bible, the Apostle John says, tell them to come. They're going to find rest from their labors forever. Praise the Lord. And if you haven't come to Christ, and if you haven't taken the burden that He asked you to bear His yoke, the harsh reality is, friends, you will never, ever find the rest that you long for. And the Bible tells us that the rest come to those who come, who take, and who learn from Jesus Christ. I just have one question for you this morning. Are you resting in God? I don't know what your challenge is or what your trial is or what burden you came here with this morning or what thing brings tears to your eyes. But the question is, am I resting in God? And if you want to find happiness, if you want to be happy, we have to lay down the baggage and exchange the yoke that we want to bear for the one that God gives us to bear and learn of Him, because the Bible says that when we do, we will find rest. And when you find that rest, you will find the joy that you crave. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for giving us these words. And Father, I pray that each one of us would learn to find complete rest in Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for sharing our load. Thank You for calling us to come. And I even pray, Father, for those right now who for the first time should say, Jesus, I need to come and to take up Your burden and learn from You. In Jesus' name, amen. I would invite you to stand as we sing just for a moment. Maybe this morning you're one who hasn't come to Christ. Maybe He's been saying come and you haven't listened, you haven't come. If that's where you're at today, come and give your heart to Christ. Come and take His burden and learn from Him today.